Okay, this is part three. This is part three in a four-part series of a landmark and a groundbreaking sefer in Tshuva called Arot HaTshuva of Rav Kook. It's a very hard sefer to read. You have to work very, very hard at it. I think it was Neriah who said you have to read the sefer unlimitedly, and I've read it several times just to be able to articulate my thoughts and collect. It's a broad, sweeping, I wouldn't say panoramic, it's a cosmological, it addresses the entire reality, its relationship with Hashem, Alpi Kabbalah, through Kabbalistic ideas, and how that impacts Tshuva. In the first session, first shiur, we spoke about the Tshuva of the entire reality, of all the cosmos. All of cosmos wasn't just created by Hashem, but it stems from Hashem. However, it wants to return to its original state of unity with Hashem, non-divisibility, non-physicality, infinity, and eternity. So there's always this longing, an innate, metaphysical, undetectable yearning called a Ratzon to return to a greater state of alignment and synchronicity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Tshuva of the entire reality. And in the second shiur, we saw, well, how does this affect human Tshuva? Because human beings are different in two ways. One is volition, two is activism. Volition, excuse me, they're the only ones who can make a choice. Reality can't make a choice. It's this instinct that drives reality. Human beings make a choice. Second of all, human beings affect the entire process, because what happens on the lowest level on planet Earth isn't just affected by upper worlds, but reverses and affects those upper worlds. And therefore, our tshuva doesn't just affect our own personal alignment with Hashem, because that's what tshuva is, not just improvement, but it's improvement so it can be better in sync with the one reality, which is the alignment of the entire world with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it also affects, as the Gemara says, Yachid Sheshav, Mochelin Lo Ulakol Olam, not just human beings, but all of reality. We talked a little bit about human tshuva in this context. Okay, how does this affect tshuva? Now that I know about this cosmic tshuva, excuse me, now that I know about human tshuva, it's now Erev Yom Kippur, I'm sitting down, I'm thinking of Rav Kook, what's different, what's changed, how do I put my finger on it? The first two shiurim were very abstract, but what does it do to tshuva? I think there are three impacts to tshuva that are Rota Tshuva, at least three, but I tried to pick the, not just the most central three, but the three that I think are sequentially related. Okay? Tshuva, of course, is all integrated. Whether it's this cosmic shift to become more aligned with Hashem, or whether it's me under my talis saying vidui for a particular sin of Monday at 2:30. As Rav Kook writes in Perek Dalad, Simen Gimel, HaTshuva HaKlalit, this overarching cosmological tshuva, advancing the cosmos towards a better, towards a higher state of unity with Hashem. My own silent, specific tshuva. Everyone's private tshuva. All of those are one integrated tshuva. So my tshuva and the cosmic surge towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. So how does that affect my tshuva? So I would say three things. Inevitability, confidence, and joy. Let's start with inevitability. Tshuva is baked in to reality. The core surge and yearning of our world is to return, not morally, planets don't perform chatayim, but to return to a state of unity and alignment with Hashem, which they're not, because by being created, by definition, they become different from Hashem. But Hashem baked it into reality. It's the Yesod HaOlam. It's Kadma LiOlam. Which means that there's a certain predeterminism and predestined conclusion that the world will one day restore itself, because that's how Hashem created the universe. It's beyond me. I'm just part of a small little world in the bottom of four worlds. So Hashem created a world which inevitably, typically we think of tshuva, we think of uncertainty, we think of doubt. Will Hashem accept my tshuva? Will Hashem grant me mechila, slicha, v'chapara? Rav Kook changes the game. It is happening. It is inevitable. It's bound to occur. There's no drama here. There's no uncertainty. As he writes, Perek He, Simen Gimel, Ha'olam, Muchrachu, Lavo, Lidei, Tshuva Shlema. It is inevitable. It has to happen. Ein Ha'olam Davar Omeid Al Matzav Echad. The world is not static. It's in constant state of evolution, and that evolution is toward a state of tshuva. וההתפתחות האמיתית השלמה מוכרחת היא להביא את הבריאות הגמורה. It has to lead to fully restored and fully healthy alignment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to happen because there is no other reality. All reality stems from Hashem. So if you're aligned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His will, and you're unified at some level, then you exist. If you detach yourself and sever yourself, you can exist for a generation or for a few hundred years, a few thousand years. But there's no sustainability. There's no perpetuity. Because it's not a moral decision to be a kind person or a cruel person. It is a cosmological decision to align yourself with the only lane of reality, and that's a lane that stems from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's along and synchronized with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's a one-lane highway. If you're not in the lane, you're not on the highway. That's what he writes in Perek Vav, Simen Dalid, Hamachala, the illness, shall shichachat ha'olam ha'eloki, of ignoring and forgetting the world of Hashem. The powerful words, right? We don't live in a religious world, but Cook gave us lenses to see the world differently. It cannot take root in human nature. You know what it's like? Fascinating metaphor. Go to a little pond or a little river and muddy the water a little bit. So the water will remain muddy for a minute, maybe 10 minutes, but the mud won't remain. It can't. It's just washed away because there's a stream of fresh water. Nachalitan and Nachalit's constantly streaming. Snow's constantly melting. That muddiness or muddled reality can't be sustained. So that's a dramatic, dramatic shift in tshuva. Tshuva has to occur. Or as he writes in Perek Vav, Simon Beis, be omek ha'havaya, at the depth of reality, of our world and its reality, munachat ha'tshuva. Tshuva is at the core of our reality. Ibnei shikad mal hi'olam, because it was created before the world. V'terem shabal chet, even before you sin, you're walking down the street and you sin, the tshuva is there, because tshuva is baked into our world. So tshuva is in response to a sin that you have to generate on Yom Kippur by thinking about your flaws and trying to recover. Tshuva is a shemesh of tshuva, a rota tshuva. It's constantly rays that are emanating, constant surge of the universe, and it has to happen. Al-Kain, listen to these words. Ein davar batuach ba'olam kimo tshuva. There's nothing more certain than tshuva. I don't think anyone outside of Rav Kook would have said that. There's nothing more certain than tshuva. Of course tshuva is uncertain. You have to make a decision. Okay, you make a decision whether to tap into that certainty. But that certainty exists independent of you. And you know what? If you don't tap into it, you don't exist. Now, you may exist for a century, but you're not aligned with the one root of reality. And therefore, sof hakol. Rav Kook writes, sof hakol in Perek Vav, Simen Beis, sof hakol. That's the first shift. Tshuva is not uncertain. Who knows? Maybe. It is a reality. It is definite. It is inevitable. It is inescapable. Because of that, part two, you should approach tshuva not with fear only, and with trepidation only, and with consternation only, and with anxiety only, but with confidence. And that's the emotion that Rav Kook inserted. And that's why in that letter that I mentioned in the first shiur, he was so concerned about getting it right, because he didn't want to eliminate the classic emotions of tshuva, of fear and trepidation and constant. He wanted to provide another layer to give our tshuva lift. And how do you write a sefer, and how do you calibrate between all these conflicting emotions? Well, that's what tshuva is. It's a range, it's a kaleidoscope of emotions. But all of a sudden, he writes in Perek Zayin, Simen Hey, listen to this, Mikol Makom, Kivan Shaharayon Kashur L'Kedusha V'Lachevetz HaTshuva. Since this idea of performing tshuva is merely connecting you and assimilating you with this cosmological movement that's happening anyway, there's nothing to be afraid about. Vandai, Yasmin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol HaDracham, Hashem will make it happen, because you're just, it's like putting a plug into a socket. There's just nothing to be afraid about. They're made for one another. Two prongs, in Israel, three prongs, go into the three holes. And if you don't put it into the socket, there's no electricity. Nothing happens. So you're not afraid to put, come to it when your hands are wet, but afraid to put a plug into the socket. You're just making it belong. And that's why you have absolute confidence, as he writes in Perek Zayin, Simen Vav, Tzrichim lahamik me'od be'munas ha'tshuva. Emunah satshuva. There's an emunah in tshuva. Belios batuach. Shebehiro tshuva levad. Just by thinking tshuva. Gamkein mitaknim harbeis atzmo ve'et olam. You're repairing yourself and the cosmos. And I don't have time to talk about how Rav Kook altered hirhor tshuva, but there's a lot to discuss about how hirhor tshuva is different than hirhor tshuva in the classic sense. So the first shift is, it's inevitable, not uncertain, no drama. Number two is, should be confident because it's a reality that's baked in or built into our universe. And therefore, and that's where the Sefer gets its name, the emotions of tshuva, because it's inevitable and you approach it with confidence, are not just the typical emotions, sadness, gloom, mourning, tears, frustration, that entire bucket list of sad, mournful, remorseful emotions, joy, health, serenity, comfort, belonging, things make sense to me. And standing in tshuva is an experience of lightness, or light, not darkness. And that's really the core revolution of Rav Kook. Writing a sefer that paints tshuva as light, and radiance, and happiness, and belonging, and not dark, and gloomy, and sad, meaningful, and don't run away from those emotions, don't avoid those emotions, because the two interact, but restoring that sense of gedola tshuva, that series of gedola tshuva. Gedola doesn't just mean it's important, it's marvelous, it's splendid, it's radiant. Tshuva is Arot HaTshuva. So for example, compare Arot HaTshuva to David HaMelech Tshuva. I don't think David HaMelech read Rav Kook. I say that tongue-in-cheek. Of course he didn't read Rav Kook. But his Tshuva doesn't speak Rav Kook's Tshuva. When you read Perek Lamed Ches, when you read Perek Nun Aleph, it's very dark, it's very gothic, it's very sad, it's very alone, it's very detached, it's very frustrating. And those are such important emotions of Tshuva. Then you read Rav Kook, it's a whole different landscape. You're standing in front of the sun, realigning yourself with reality, being sustained by what sustains the entire universe, aligning yourself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What greater joy than the light and the radiance of tshuva? Wait.